I too greet you this morning in the precious name of our Lord. I have been thoroughly encouraged already by the hymns that we've sang and the thoughts that Brother Melvin and Brother Joe shared. Humility. It's just taking up our cross. It's not something that we do one time and then we've done it. But it's something that we have to choose to do daily. So I appreciated the opening very much. And I might make a few more comments of some of that a little later in the message. If we could, why don't we rise to our feet and have a word of prayer. Oh God, as we do bow here in your presence this morning, we do thank you. Thank you, Lord, this morning again for allowing us to worship you through song, Lord. Giving us voices that would praise you. Lord, we desire that you would be lifted up and exalted, Lord. Father, this morning, as we've heard already, that you have a cross for each one of us to carry. Humility. And it is so easy for pride to rise up in our hearts. And we pray that you would search me, O Lord, search us, and see if there's such a thing in our life. Lord, it will hinder us tremendously from keeping going with you. And so we pray that you'd have your way. Father, we do pray this morning that you would allow your word to continue to speak to our hearts with the burden that you've laid upon my heart. Just ask that you would have your way in our lives and pray that you would, by your Spirit, guide, lead, and direct my thoughts. And pray that you would inspire your word to our hearts, that we would be able to be edified and encouraged for your holy name's sake. We just again commit this service into your hand, Father, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning, the burden that is upon my heart is to encourage us to draw closer to God. And how does that happen? What do we do? Or how does that take place? And so, I'd like to, if we could, maybe sing number 332 as a prayer and also as a springboard maybe for this message.
Thou didst break the law.
As I studied this morning, the song kept coming to me. There's some phrases in here that will probably stand out to us a bit more as we go on through the message. Verse 1, it tells us, "Beyond the sacred page, I seek Thee, Lord. My spirit pants for Thee, O living Word." And then verse 3, it says, "Spirit and life are they, words Thou dost speak." Spirit and life are they. And then the last part, it says, "Thou art my life. Heeding Thy holy word, I win the strife." And so this morning, as we think of being more like Christ or having a closer walk with God, the question is, how does that happen? We talk about it frequently. You know, I want to be more like Christ. I want to be more like Him. I'd like to have a closer walk with Him. How do we do that? I mean, these are words that we say, but as we say them, what is really the intent of our heart? How are we really going to get there? When I say I want to get closer to you, there's two ways that this can happen. I can walk and get closer to you all. That's one way, but that's not really the way that we're meaning that, even though that is part of it. But it is getting to know you, getting to have a deeper understanding of who you are. And that is what we're talking about when we say drawing closer to God. Having a closer walk with Him. We're talking about getting to knowing Him in a deeper way. So this morning, my heart's desire is this message today would be simple so that even the children can understand it and start applying it to their lives. You know, I can't just give you a list of things of that you can check mark off, and this is going to make you more like Christ. If you do these things, you automatically are going to be more like Christ. There has to be something that happens in here. I can do all the right things and yet completely miss it. And Joe shared some of that this morning. So if I could this morning, by God's Word, give us some keys to draw us closer, that would be my desire. So I want to lay a bit of a foundation before I get into the message. So if I say that the first thing we want to look at, what should that be? Something that would draw us closer to God. What should that be? And there's two things that came to my mind, and in my mind this morning I was going to share on both of them, but that's not going to happen. We'll have to share maybe that at another time. The two things that came to my mind that would be on the top of the list is studying His Word and prayer. And I chose this morning on studying His Word. Now, why is that so important? I said I want the children, I would like to bring it down or keep it simple enough so that the children can understand it. So this morning, is there a child here that is 14 years old or younger that could tell me why that studying His Word would make us more like Christ? Is there any child here that wants to speak up and say what you're thinking? There's different answers, but there's one thing in particular that I'm actually looking for. There could be numerous right answers. Is there anyone here that would like to do that? Is there an adult here that would like to say something? Speak up. Go ahead. Bring conviction. Both of them are right. But the thing that I was really looking for is because who is the Word? You know, John tells us in John chapter 1, and I'm going to start there, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So that's the foundation that I want to lay this morning, is that this, yeah, it's not Christ necessarily, but the words that are here, the book itself is not Christ, but the words that are here are Christ. It's going to, if we study it, to know it, to look into it, that it would change us, this will shape us into Christ. This will shape us into Christ. So I read it already. In the beginning was the Word. So in Genesis it says, in the beginning was God. So these two scriptures, are they different from one another? They're not, are they? They're the same. In Genesis says, in the beginning was God, and the beginning was the Word, is what John tells us. I don't know how long I was a Christian before some of this actually came to me, and so I want to share it so that you children can understand where we're going here. These two scriptures are agreeing. What is the Word in John? It is Christ. Well, then you might ask, well, was Jesus not born of a virgin? Was Jesus not born to Mary? What do you mean he was in the beginning? And we'll get to some of that a bit later. The Bible tells us, and I'm jumping back and forth here a little bit as we lay the foundation. In Genesis 1, verse 26, I'm going to read the first part of that verse. It says, and God said, let us make men in our image after our likeness. So there's plural forms used here. So God was not by himself here. He had not created man at this point. So who was there with God? Who was God talking about when he said, let us, more than one person, let us make man in our image, in our likeness? Who's he talking about? Most of us know, and I'm not sure if we all do or not, John 8, verses 51 to 58. We'll try to tie this up to where it makes sense here in a bit. Chapter 8, verse 51, and it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, saying, he shall never see death. Then said Jesus, then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and sayest thou, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste of death? Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets that are dead? Who makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said unto him, thou art yet not 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. So how many years after Abraham was Jesus actually born to Mary? I don't know that. 2,000 years? 1,000 years? I'm not sure how it was. But Jesus says here that Abraham saw, that he saw Abraham and Abraham saw him. How is that possible if he was born to Mary many, many years later? Before Abraham was, I am. Well, in Genesis 1:26, there was three present there. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We see here in John 1:1, the Word was with God. God's Word. Still talking about the beginning, the Word was with God, and then it says the Word was God. Are we making a connection? And here's a, where I'll talk a little bit about what Joe shared maybe. Philippians 2, verse 5 to 8. And it says this. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made into the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And he's telling us, let that mind be in you. Verse 6 here we see that Christ Jesus is equal to God. And he humbled himself to be a baby that couldn't help himself. Now it tells us this is the way that we should walk. Can you imagine the Word that went forth that created the world? The Word that went forth to create the world. The tremendous power that it took to do that. Galaxies and stars that we cannot even comprehend. Right? Allowed himself to be put into a womb of a virgin to save us. Tremendous humility. And he tells us to let this mind be in us. Amazing. Amazing. We'll turn back to John 1. I hope you don't get tired of me flipping back and forth here. We're going to try to get this foundation laid to where Christ was that Word that went forth in the beginning. In verse 3 of John 1 it says, all things were made by Him. By who? What is, in this context, what is all things were made by Him. Who is He talking about? The Word, right? All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. We know that when He spoke, When God says, let there be, then there was, right? Let there be light, then there was light. He didn't get out a hammer and other things to make this. He spoke it into creation. And it's still there, and it's still doing what God told it to do because He has not told it to do otherwise. The power of His Word. Amazing. So the Lord Jesus Christ was in the beginning. That Word that went forth was Christ the Son. that created all things. Colossians 1, verse 16 to 19. I'm just trying to give you, if this is new to you, I'm just trying to tie this together for you. Most of you probably know it, but maybe not all. It says in verse 16 of chapter 1 of Colossians, "For by Him were all things created." And this is talking about Jesus Christ, the firstborn of every creature. That are in heaven, that are on earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Who is it? And He is the head of the body. Who is that? That's Christ. The church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, in all things might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. God has given His Son, that it was Him that created. That was the word that went forth. Verse 4 of John tells us that the Word was life. It's not just breath that it's talking about now. It is not just what keeps an animal alive. It is more than that. It is life eternal that is in the Son. And we want to get that. We want to get that, because what we're wanting to do today is to try to encourage us to study this Word, because in here is life. The life is in the Son, right? And who is the Son? It is God's Word. And if we want to be more like Him, we need to be studying His Word. Every man from Adam to the baby that is born this morning, being born now, there was an eternal death, a curse on all men. And Jesus, where all life comes from, is the only one who can truly give us life, eternal life, life with power. 1 John 1, the first four verses, the same writer, but wrote it in a bit different way. It says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes." Who was in the beginning? It was the Word, right? "But from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled." Who is it? "Of the Word of life. For that life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and shown to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Now we know the Word of life, the Word of life wants to have fellowship with you and I. And we say that the Bible is God's Word, right? So as we seek God and His Word, we get to know Him. So why does it not affect everyone the same? The reason it don't have the same effect on everyone is that not everyone reads it for the same reason. If we read it out of duty, what do you think? Will it have the same effect in my life than if I really need an answer to my life? We know the outcome will be different. The outcome will be way different. So if I'm not seeking God, should I then not read His Word? So if my heart is really not this, if I'm only doing it out of duty, should I just not do it then? we should still do it. Children, even if you don't get anything out of here, you should still be reading God's Word. Because there's things that will enter into your heart that you will someday, that will someday benefit you if you want to seek and follow Him at a very young age. But if I, it will not have as quick, as deep, and as complete work in my life if I do it out of duty. If it doesn't make sense, just keep reading. Ask your mom and dad. So we all want more of God. How do we get it? Is the question. One way is spending more time in His Word, seeking Him. So we would like to take a few moments and give some thoughts on how do we read God's Word. So point one this morning, and I have 4 points, and I could just give you them four. I'm not sure how this will all go. So the first point is cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. Second point is Word of Life. Third point is God's Word is to make us wise unto salvation through faith. And the fourth point is let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And if you didn't get all of that, we'll read scripture that has these phrases in and it might come back to you, and you can, if you want to write it down, you can. So the first scripture for the first point is Ephesians 5:25-27. And it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, or having any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And now this is in the context of the husbands loving your wives. But then he goes, switches it a little bit and says, shows us how it happens. And that is that God wants to wash us by the water of the Word. Washing of the water by the Word, that He might present unto Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Verse 26, he tells us that God washes us by His Word. In 27, it tells us why He washes us by His Word. Now think with me, how much do you and I wash ourselves with God's Word? On a day-to-day basis. 2 minutes? Is that how much time you spend in God's Word? 5 minutes? A half hour? An hour? How does my soul look? Is it dirty? Does it have spots? Does it have blemishes? Is it wrinkly? If you could see my heart, what would it look like? What would you see? The other thought is, if you would wash your hands as often or as much as you wash yourself with God's Word, how would your hands look? How would your hands look? We live in a very dirty world, and we all get dirtied, you could say. I mean, the things should not... We hear things that we wish we wouldn't, and God, as we read God's Word, it washes us. Yes, we need to be born again by the Spirit of God. We need that. We need the blood of Christ to cleanse us from our sin. But then once that happens, God's Word washes us. It cleanses us. What would our hands look like? Stained? And yet if I die with dirty hands, that itself will not keep me out of heaven. But spots in my heart will. If we read God's Word in this way, that God would wash my soul, it will have a beautiful effect in my life. Fathers, are we washing our families in God's Word? And as I studied, I must confess, I don't do it enough. Yes, we do it in the mornings, but is that enough? Children, listen when God's Word is read. Ask God to cleanse you by His Word. It will make your life beautiful. So a 10-year-old child, if you're 10 years older today, and we're having devotions, and my mind is somewhere else as we're having devotions, what will happen? Will I be cleansed? Probably not. What about Sunday mornings as you're sitting here? Do you listen? Do you intently listen as if your soul depended on it? Or do your minds wander here and there? Is your soul being washed? Is your heart being washed? What is happening? You see, the cleaner that my heart is, the closer my walk will be with God. We're talking about drawing closer to God, being more like Christ. How is it that people want to be with God in eternity, but don't want much to do with His Word? I don't think we realize how important it is to spend time in His Word. If your desire is truly to be more like Christ, this is a must to study God's Word. Yes, it takes the blood to wash away my sin, but His Word also cleanses us and makes us clean. Second point, this is probably where we'll spend most of our time, the Word of Life. In 1 John, we already read that, but there's a phrase in there in chapter 1, verse 1, at the end it says, of the Word of Life. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the Word of Life. Again, if this is the Word of Life, what is one way to strengthen that life or renewing it in our lives? What is one way of doing it? By the Word of Life, right? First of all, we do believe that this is the Word, right? This is the Word. Can we just coast along and everything will be okay? We know that that's not possible. But how much time, again, do we spend reading God's Word? If this is the Word of Life, if this is the thing that truly continues to bring life to me, how much time do I spend in a day reading God's Word? 2 minutes? 5 minutes? A half hour? An hour? These are just questions, and I don't think we set our stopwatch or a clock and keep track. I'm sure that morning by morning it varies. But it is to get us to think, how much time do I actually spend in God's Word? If this is truly the living Word, how much time do I spend in it? And again, if we read His Word desiring to be more like Christ, what will happen? Beautiful things will happen. And I want to encourage you young people, memorize God's Word while you're young. God's Word is full of life. You might not fully understand it. It might not all make sense to you, but memorize it. It is full of life. You know, while ministering in prison, I meet people that know the Bible far better than I do. And yet, it's not having no effect in their life. So we have to, as we read God's Word, let's do it with purpose. What is my purpose for spending time reading God's Word in the morning? Is it to be more like Him? Is it that He would wash my soul? Is it that there's words of life in here that want to continue to transform me? Let's read God's Word with purpose. But it doesn't have much effect because they still love their sin. Their desire isn't to know God, and so they are dead yet while they live. John 5, verses 37 to 40. And I'm kind of jumping in the middle of some of these for the sake of time. And the Father Himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard His voice at any time, nor seen His shape. Ye have not His word abiding in you, for whom He hath sent, Him ye believe not. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. So, again, it is Christ that we're seeking in His Word. His words they're words of life. And Christ is that Word of life. If I read it out of duty, again, I won't get much out of it. But there's words of life in here that want to transform us. Verse 38, it tells them that His Word is not abiding in Him. They're not looking in the Scriptures, looking for eternal life. And yet there is no life outside of the Son. But if we seek Jesus through His Word, it gives us eternal life. Why do we read God's Word? It is to know Him and be washed by His Word and seek Him in the Word for that eternal life. And if that is why we will read His Word, if we do it with purpose, our lives will be beautiful. It will have a sanctifying effect in our lives. It will make us look more like Jesus. Our walk with Him will be sweeter. Our lives will reflect His life. His life will come out of our life. The closer we walk with Him, the closer we walk with His people. Maybe we're feeling dead this morning, and maybe we're feeling discouraged. But God wants to breathe His Word, His life upon us through His Word anew this morning. John 7, verse 38, He says, He that believeth on Me, as the Scripture hath said, out of His belly shall flow rivers of living water. So the question that then comes to us this morning is, what is coming out of my belly? What is coming out of my mouth? What kind of rivers are coming out of here? Rivers of life? I mean, if that is what I'm putting in here, that's what will come back out. Criticism? Poison? We can tell what men are drinking of from by what comes out of their mouth. It's a dead giveaway. We cannot chase after the things of this world during the week and on Sunday morning have rivers of life running out of our life. That does not happen. We can put on a show, but it does not happen. It can't happen. You can't. If you want to be cool, you didn't get that from the Word of Life. If your passion is money or business, you didn't get it in here. Are you tearing out the brothers? You didn't get it in here. The words of life. Is your passion the souls of men? You find that in here. So what comes out of here is a proof of what is going in here. So we need to spend time in God's Word. Much time in God's Word. If we want to be like Him. When is the last time that you spoke with someone outside of the church that is not a Christian about God? When's the last time you've done that? Remember, we're talking about rivers of living water coming up out of our belly. Or is there none in there? How long has it been? If you and I are, our lives are filled with God's Word, what will happen? We won't be able to shut up, will we? We have to talk about it. We do talk about the things that are in here. We do. Out of his belly. Listen to what comes out of your mouth, because that is what you have been putting in. Can I get coffee out of here? Right now, if I take a drink, can I have coffee? We all know that we can't, right? There's no way for me to drink this clear liquid in here as coffee, because that's not what was put in here. The only thing that I can get out of this cup is what has been put in it. And the same is with us. Yes, we can talk about God if we don't put much in it, but it will soon show itself that is not really what I've been putting in here. So, it is very, very, very important that we take this Word of Life and continue to wash ourselves with it and continue to revive our lives with it. We cannot do that on our own strength. It will have that effect in your life if you seek God in this way. A longer script, a little longer reading here in John 6. I'm going to try to not take too much of your time, but I still got a bit to go. John 6, verse 48 to 69. Jesus is talking here, and he says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which cometh down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Talking about the cross. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread that came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up to where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, and the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew that from the beginning that they who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you go away? Then said Simon Peter, and answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, these were some strange words that these people heard that day. When Jesus started talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. That was a hard saying. Today it makes more sense to us than it did to them. And I'm not going to try to go through all of that. But many of his disciples walked away from him at that time. If you and I don't partake of Christ, we will have no life. And one of the ways to partake of him is through his word. Verse 51, it tells us, I am the living bread. So, if Christ is the living bread, how much time do I spend eating of him? Again, I keep bringing the same numbers up. 2 minutes? 5 minutes? Half hour? An hour? I can't give you a time that if you spend an hour and 45 minutes every day in God's Word, then you're going to be okay. I can't do that. I can't tell you how much time that you're going to need to spend in here. You know, the greater that my struggle is, the deeper I get hurt, the more that I, whatever, the more time I need in here. So it's not like I can set my stopwatch every morning and I got my time in with God and now it's good. That's not what it is. Are we malnourished? The lack of proper nutrition is what it says is the meaning of it. Malnourished. By not having enough to eat or not eating enough of the right things. Now I have a list of symptoms, 8 symptoms of malnourished, and I'm going to read through them, and then we'll read through them again. Number 1, a reduced appetite. Number 2, lack of interest in food and water. Number 3, feeling tired all the time. Number 4, feeling weaker. Number 5, getting ill often and taking longer to recover. Number 6, wounds that take a long time to heal or not heal at all. Number 7, poor concentration. Number 8, feeling cold most of the time. Now that is a physical description of malnourished. But as we think of not spending the time in God's Word that we need, which one of them don't hit right on the head? So let's go through them again. That is in the physical. Reduced appetite. Malnourished is not getting enough of the right things to eat. What happens? We lose what little appetite we have for God's Word. And we turn to who knows what. I'll let you fill in the blanks. Can any of us relate to this? Number 2, the lack of interest. It says the lack of interest in food or water. The lack of interest in God and His Word when we don't spend the time that we need to with Him. We turn to other places again. Money, business, sports, shopping, eating. And we get the picture. Can we relate with this? Feeling tired to read or pray. It says, the third one was feeling tired all the time? Are we feeling tired, too tired to read or pray? Too tired to spend the time that I really need in here? Can we relate? Number four was feeling weaker. What happens when we physically go on a fast for 5 days? We get weaker, right? We're not as strong physically as we were if we would eat. What happens if I don't spend the time in here that I need? I become very weak and vulnerable. Getting sick. The fifth one was getting ill often and taking longer to recover. So getting sick, our joy is gone. Life is a drug. We're just, life just don't have anything good in it anymore. It's a push to get through the day. There's no purpose. We don't know how to go on. We're discouraged. Can we relate to this? When we get hurt, okay, the sixth one was wounds taking a long time to heal or not heal at all. We're talking about malnutrition, malnourished, not getting what we need in God's Word. We get hurt by a brother and the wound doesn't hurt. We get bitter, we lash back, and we hurt more. And it don't heal, and so we draw back. Can we relate to this? Number seven, poor concentration. So we know that we need to read His Word. We know that we need to read the Bible. But because my interests have changed, I can't concentrate. I read, and I don't know what I read. I sit here, and I hear, and yet I don't really hear. Does that make sense? I'm listening, and I can hear what the words that are being said, but yet I'm really not hearing what's being said. Can we relate? The last one, number eight, feeling cold most of the time. Feeling cold or hard. There isn't the same warmth coming from our lives. And we don't want to be around our brothers. Can we relate? Now, them are symptoms. It's a fruit that is coming from another problem. What was the problem? It was malnourished. Not getting the proper ingredients, not getting the proper value out of God's Word that God's Word has for me. So what will we do? We need to repent. And we need to get serious with God. How do we do that? One of the ways is getting into His Word with purpose. Allowing God to wash our lives with His Word. With purpose. In here is life. In Christ there is life. Life. Now there's three evidences of malnourished. It's called wasting, stunning, and overweight. Wasting is thin and gaunt. Stunning is short, and overweight is too heavy for your height. All of these can be malnourished, but not in every case. How are you and I doing, spiritually speaking? The importance of getting into His living Word to feed our souls is of utmost importance. We all agree that there is no life outside of Jesus Christ, and we looked at how Christ is the Word of God. And so, if there's no life outside of Christ, and Christ is the Word, we should be feeding our souls with His Word. We know that, but what will we do about it? You know, this isn't a shot in the arm message that after you get this, then it's good to go, right? This is a lifetime battle for all men. It just is. If we're a Christian that is truly seeking to follow after Christ, Satan will be there to try to destroy that walk with you, with Christ. He will be there, and he will do things, and God allows these things to happen, as Joe said earlier. You will get hurt, but what will we do? God wants to transform our lives, and he uses the very hard things of life to make us more like him. Again, what are we doing? Are we on oxygen, spiritually speaking, this morning? Are we gaunt and wasted? Are we puffed up with other things? Let's get back to the living word. And I'm just going to make a few more comments out of chapter 6, verse 53. It says, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." So that was 56. Jesus then said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, ye have no life." Ye have no life in you. Verse 54, it says, Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And again, it's not just haphazardly reading through his word. That's not how it is. It has to be studying to know God. Verse 57, "As the living Father has sent me, I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me." And we'll skip some of these verses and we'll go down to verse 68, where Jesus asked the disciples, "Are you going to go away too?" Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Now that is a testimony of someone who walked with God, walked with Jesus, I should say, who walked with Jesus. That was Peter's words. "And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." I was going to turn to John 10, but I'm not going to. And John 10, it says, talks about hearing his voice. Hearing his voice. You know, if we hear voices that are saying something else than what is written in here, it is not God. God's voice will never, ever say anything different than what is in here. So we need to know what is in here so we know what kind of voice that we're listening to. But we're going to keep on going. And in that scripture there, he also says, "And there's no man that will pluck us out of the Father's hand." What a tremendous promise that we have. God says that there's no one that will ever pluck us out of his hand. All right, we'll try to finish up here, but I got a few things yet. Number two is the biggest one, so don't fall asleep on me. God's word is to make us wise unto salvation through faith. 2 Timothy 3. Verses 14 to 17. "But continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, that they are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Verse 15, it tells us that the scriptures, it can make us wise unto salvation. And salvation is not only when we get born again. It is if we continue on through this whole life and are found perfect at the end of life. It's a life that we live. So if that is the case, so the opposite is also true. Okay, I should say this. But it's for today. Now the way I live impacts my eternal destination. And so if that is the case, the opposite is also true. If I don't study God's Word, it makes me foolish unto eternal damnation. But it is only through faith. You know, if I have no faith and I read this Word, there's not much that's going to happen. I need faith that what God says in here is going to, it's going to be what God says it will be. Knowing that this is the effect it will have if I follow Him. Verse 16, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So, when is the last time that the Scripture has done that for you? When is the last time that you was reproved by the Scripture? When is the last time that you found a doctrine in here that really spoke to you? When is the last time that the Scripture, that you made a correction in your life because of the Scripture that you've read? When is the last time that you got instruction for righteousness' sake? It's very important that we read this Word because there's life in here. There's life in here. It makes us wise unto salvation. You know, if I just ignorantly walk through this life and at the end of life, I come before the throne and I had this Word in my hand and I did not read it and I did not study it, and there's things in here I should have known I didn't know, what will happen? I'm not going to answer that question. Do we read it expecting to have the kind of effect, this kind of effect on our lives? Do we read it wanting it to change my life? Or I don't want God to interrupt my life. It is inspired by God. And that simply means it's divinely breathed in. Do we read God's Word seeking that He would divinely speak to me? I mean, we hear of Moses where he heard God's voice, right? This is the voice of God as well. And He wants to divinely speak to you in your whatever circumstance that you're in. Whatever that you're facing in life, He wants to divinely speak into your life. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that a blessing? Don't we serve a tremendously big God? Isn't that wonderful that He cares so much about us that He wants to say something to your situation today? That's amazing. The one that spoke this world into creation. We say we want to be like Christ. How does this happen again? How much time in a day do we honestly seek Him through His Word? 2 minutes? 5 minutes? Half hour? Hour? I'm not telling you what is the correct time for you to, how much time to spend in here. Are we blessed when God corrects us? Do we want Him to divinely instruct us into righteousness? Or are we happy to be in the driver's seat? Verse 17, it tells us, my page flipped on me, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works. How many men of God are here this morning that are perfect, complete? That doesn't mean that there is no flaws in you. But as God is working into your life, you're responding in the correct manner, the right manner, and you're taking His Word and you're applying it to your life the best of your knowledge. That's being perfect. That we may be perfect, complete. And if we don't read His Word, how do we know what that is? If we're not studying this, how do we know what that is? thoroughly furnished, or fully equipped unto all good works. Again, how do I read His Word? What is the intent of me reading His Word? Am I interested in being fully equipped by God? My life will show it. What are my passions? What are my motives? What is my heart going after? And last of all, I have number four, and this should not take long. This is kind of a summary of my heart this morning. Colossians 3, verse 15 to 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Verse 15, it tells us, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you have called into one body, and be thankful. Let the word of God, Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace into your hearts to the Lord, that whatsoever you do in word or deed, that you do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Verse 15, thoroughly furnished good works, that God's peace is ruling in my heart. Verse 16, it tells us, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. How does this happen? How does God's word dwell in my heart richly? How is that possible? By closing this and putting it on the shelf? By reading it as a duty? Or to study to see what is in here for me? You think you can have the Word of God dwell in your hearts richly in 2 minutes a day? You think that should take 5 minutes a day? You think that should be a half hour? An hour? Again, I can't give you that answer. Remember, earlier I said the closer we get to Christ, the closer we want to be with one another. If God's Word is in here richly, my desire will be you as well, because that is God's desire. How can we teach each other if we don't know it? Talking about psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So God help us to encourage each other and to admonish each other in His ways. And again, how can I give you something that I don't have? How can I give you something that I don't have? It's telling us to teach each other and admonish each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. How can I teach you if it's not in here? How can you teach me if you don't have it in here? So it's very, very important. This is a command that God gives us. And if I don't have it in here, I can't do that commandment. Verse 17, this is my heart's desire for all of us, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. That is my encouragement to you and all of us together. Like I said earlier, there's other ways that we can draw closer to God. Other ways that will draw us to God. And in my mind, I was going to get to some of that. But as I started studying, I ended up with God and His Word. Let's draw closer to God through His Word. His resemblance is in here. His will for us in our life is in here. Let's seek Him through His Word. The first thing we looked at, point one, was to cleanse it. I should maybe say the foundation that we first laid is that Christ was the Word that went out from God. And then from there, the first point we made was cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. That we would read God's Word, that God would wash us. with that intent in mind. The second one is that we would read His Word because it is the Word of life. There's life in the Word of God. And I need life. If I don't get life, I die, right? Third was, God's Word is to make us wise unto salvation through faith. And God wants us to be wise in His Word. And how can we be wise in His Word if we don't know what is in here? The fourth, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And that is my heart's desire, that the Word of God would dwell in your hearts richly. And that we could do the command that we read there in our last reading. So may God bless you. If we would have had time, I'd have asked to sing number 329, but we'll let that be. God bless you.